We're continuing our study on the Lord's Prayer and prayer in general this Sunday. And if you would, go ahead and turn over to Psalms. It's going to be the book of Psalm and also Matthew 6. So if you're already in Matthew 6, hold your finger there. We'll be back. And we're going to talk about the book of Psalm. Psalm 4 is where we're going this morning to begin. I'm reading through a psalm with each one of these because it's a reminder that psalms are prayers. They're songs, they're prayers, they're contemplations, mostly from David, but from some other authors as well. But it's important for us to kind of see that this contrasting nature. Jesus said, well, when you pray, pray like this. And some people kind of have taken that in a literal sense, which is okay. You can pray that. If you don't know what else to pray, the Lord's Prayer is a great place to get you started, to kind of get you motivated. But then we come over to the book of Psalms, and we see, like in Psalm 4, that David is really pouring out his heart in prayer. And we see here, beginning in verse 1, it says this, "Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will my people turn, or how long will you people turn from my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifices of the righteous and trust in the Lord. Many, Lord, are asking, who will bring us prosperity? Let the light of your face shine on us. Fill my heart with joy. When their grain and their new wine abound, in peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." Powerful words from David. Words of prayer. So let us go to the Lord and ask for a little wisdom on these things. Father in heaven, as we begin to open your word up, as we reveal the mysteries that are laid within, as you proclaim your Son through your word, let us turn our hearts to it. Let us gain wisdom from it. Impart to us that wisdom, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, that we may see and may be forever changed. Never to be the same as we were. But to be a little more like you, to be a little bit more of the light in this world, to be a little more of the encouragement and the love, to be a little more of the truth and the voice of reason as we proclaim your kingdom and your glory and your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was going to open with a joke, but Chad stole my joke. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't. I'm just teasing. It was an atheist man out, didn't believe in God, and he was out fishing one day. He was enjoying nature. He was enjoying the great things going on. He'd caught a couple big ones, and just thinking and contemplating to himself, why does a person need God? I have all of this. I'm going to live my life and die, and I'm going to die happy. And there he was, relaxing in the bliss with his fishing line in the water. And all of a sudden, there came this great roiling, the boiling of water. And his boat is tossed way up into the air. And the man flies up, and he peers down, and he sees this huge behemoth underneath of him, ready to swallow him up. And he prays out, Lord, save me. And just then, time slows down. And it stops. And the voice of the Lord comes forth and says, why, my son, should I save you in your unbelief all of these years? To which the man replied, give me a break, Lord. I didn't even believe in the Loch Ness Monster until 2 minutes ago. You know, there's this great veil that lies in front of us as people. And this great veil is called unbelief. The world and science wants to tell you that there is no such thing as God. They want to keep that veil firmly in place and entrenched so that you never see the truth of what is behind it. They have all this fancy stuff. I think of the Wizard of Oz. The fancy fire's flying, and you got the great wizard, and he's this big talking head, and then the curtain gets pulled away to reveal the truth. You know, as we're moving on and we're talking about prayer here in Matthew chapter 6, and this next part in verse 10, it's this amazing piece where we see that the curtain is kind of revealed because what the believers are praying for, and it says this, it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What does this mean? What is it we're praying for? I'm going to tell you in the beginning, it's there. It says, "Your kingdom come." We're praying for the great veil of unbelief to be shred, to be taken away, to be yanked from the eyes of those who do not believe. We're calling upon the Lord's power and authority to come into place. What is this kingdom of God that we're praying for? Well, it's a couple of things. The first thing it is, I want to go to Revelation 21, all the way to the end, just about, of your Bible. And it says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first one had gone, and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared for his bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' He said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life.'" And just like we read here, there's this time coming where there will be this new heaven and this new earth. And those who are in Christ Jesus will take part in those things. And there'll be no more tears and no more suffering and no more sorrow and no more crying. The kingdom of God as it was always intended to be. Now, this isn't this place that we see of in the cartoons of old, where they die and you get a harp and some wings and you go flying off into the clouds to float around for the rest of your life. Because let's be honest, a guy like me, that's going to be boring after a little while. Okay, I'm going to get tired of an eternity of floating on a cloud. I need to be doing stuff. I need to be doing things. Amen. Okay, I want to make sure I'm not the only one that likes to do stuff, all right? There's a time I like to sit around on the couch, but then there's times I like to actually get out and do things. And there'll be a time for doing things. See, for the new heaven and the new earth, they reside together. For God will bring it back as it once was, as it was intended to be. The Garden of Eden is as it always was intended to be for us until, guess what? We broke it. That's what we do with the new shiny toys. We just break them. All right? That's just what happens. So there's this kingdom of God. We're talking about this future type of kingdom that's not of this world. As a matter of fact, if we go to Jesus and what he said to Pilate in John 18 and verse 36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. For if it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." It's one of the crazy things about being a Christian. It makes it different than any other religion out there, any other belief system out there, and that's that we have this dual nature about us. For while God's kingdom is not of this world, because this world is broken and imperfect, it is in the world. For Jesus Christ said, "The kingdom of God is near." He says, "I'm establishing my kingdom here, and it's going to be called the church." See, you're representatives of something that's not of this world. You know, there was a time, it was kind of a popular little deal where they had the little emblem, N-O-T-W, not of this world. I thought it was the most coolest little emblem they had. They made a neat little deal. But it was the truth. See, we have this dual nature that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Jesus told them, hey, look, my people will be in the world, but they're not of the world. No, there's this longing, there's this kingdom coming, but there's this kingdom that's already here. It's this dual nature of who we are as Christians. We are the flesh and we are the spirit. And what we're calling for is that the kingdom of God both come. Right? We're ready for that. We're ready for a little Revelation 21, right? Okay, I'm alone. It's cool. I'm ready. I don't know about y'all. You know, sometimes I'm praying, Lord, today's the day, right? Can we get out of this joint? All right? It's pretty wrecked. Have you seen what's going on down here, God? And yet we pray for the kingdom here as well. That it will come, that it will seek out the hearts of the lost, that it will bring the hope to a hopeless world. Let's be honest, folks, there's not a lot of hope out there right now. Chad was just telling us, turn on the news. And boy, we can let that infiltrate our houses and listen to it. And you know, sometimes I turn on the other news and I listen to both newses and I'm looking there thinking, man, y'all are all negative and a bunch of morons. Who don't want to tell the truth, but only want to tell what you know and what you want to see and what you want people to think. And man, I just got to turn it off. And I got to go open my Bible and I got to pray, Lord, your kingdom come in my heart, that I would find that peace that you promised me in this world. Because the world doesn't offer any hope. And yet we call for his return as well. But until he does, we get a taste. We get a taste because we come here every Sunday and we gather together and we love on one another. And in this place, I hope that you're finding right now, whether you're in the building or whether you're online with us listening, I'm here to tell you, I hope that right now you're just feeling a little peace about you. That hopefully when you kind of came in, I know the building isn't the church and all, but as you came in and we started to get around to be other believers, I hope that you shed a little bit of the world and left it behind you. As you took communion, you partook of that, and as you was thinking about the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, I hope you shed a little bit more of that world and grabbed onto a little more of the kingdom of hope. For while we've got to be here, there's a yearning for being there. Francis Chan was talking about that yearning when he said about being in eternity, being in heaven. He said, I would be obsessed with seeing God's face and wanting his approval. I thought it was such a great quote. He would be obsessed with it. But you know, we can do that now. I'm obsessed with seeing God's face and earning his approval. Even though while I can't, I have his approval already, I still want it. I still want it every day as I go out and I try to do his work and try to love on people. I'm still yearning for that approval of God here on earth and now. But it starts by believing first what we read. As we call upon the kingdom to come, do we know what we're calling for? Do we believe what we're calling on? 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, I'm not here to tell you. That it tells you, hey, look, he said this is trustworthy and true. In verse 13, it says this, and we also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, I'm telling you about it right now, I'm reading directly from it, it's awesome. Which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Are we believing what we're reading? Are we opening this up? And when I read Revelation 21, are you believing what it says? Maybe not, it's cool. We'll get you there. I hope that you are. And when Jesus said, I'm going to put you in the world, but you're not going to be of the world, are you believing that? Are you believing that Jesus Christ is going to give you peace in this times of trouble? Look, I'm telling you, you got to trust him. You got to know that it's true because the proof comes when you believe. The proof comes when you hold on to those truths. The proof comes when you test it. When's the last time we tested it? We put our faith to the test. we put God's promises to the test. Now, there's a test the Lord that says, hey, don't test the Lord. All right? That's testing in unbelief. But there are times when God says, test me and see if this is a tree. You know, when he called on it, he said, open your storehouses and see if I don't pour out much more than you can possibly imagine. He said, test me on it. Test me on it. See if it isn't true. He's saying today, pray for it. Pray for the kingdom to come. See if it won't happen. First in your life and then the lives of people around you who will also test that truth. See, when we know it's true and we believe that it's true, then we start to defeat that fear that tends to rise up in us. We defeat that hopelessness. 1 John 4, verse 18, there is now no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in the love. Do you know that if you're in Christ Jesus today, that there is no punishment for you? Amen. There's no punishment for you anymore. That's what he's saying. Hey, you don't have to worry about hell anymore. Don't worry about that place anymore. Focus on the hope of God. Focus on where you're headed to. Focus on what Jesus has given to you through his blood and through his body. Focus on the forgiveness you have. Focus on the grace that we receive. And when you do, you realize that relationship is all about that hope. Because there's now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the truth. Do we believe it? Because if we are, then we're praying for that return of Jesus Christ. You know, I pray for that. Today is the day, Lord, come on. I need you to come. But you know, the Lord responds with this in 2 Peter 3, verse 9. It says this, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. Not wanting any to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. As we pray for it, we know each day it gets closer. Every day is closer than the last. People ask, are we in the end times, Pastor? I say, yep, been there about 2,000 years. But the Lord's not slow as we understand slowness. He's given us time. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not in Jesus Christ today, he's giving you time. He's giving you opportunity to come to him today to say, yes, Lord, I'm ready to make you Lord of my life today. I'm ready to accept that forgiveness that you've given me today. I'm ready to pray your kingdom come today. Just like David was praying in Psalm 4, verses 1 through 3, and what he said there, and he said, answer me when I call, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will your people turn from my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know the Lord has set us apart, his faithful servants for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Lord, let your kingdom come. You know, God reveals these truths to us about this kingdom. He gives us pieces and bits. And I've gotten to hear some testimonies from folks the last few weeks because I've done two funerals after I've been here already. I shared that with folks. I said, when I come to a congregation, I should have warned people, when I come to a congregation, two things happen. Things break and people die. It's just what happens to me. I don't know what it is. But it happens, and I happen to do funerals. I did my second one last week, and we already broke the baptistry, and we broke something else, and the roof needs replacing, and it's a mess. So he holds true to these things. But what's amazing is I've gotten to hear some of these testimonies. But the one that will hold true to me always is my father's passing. And as he was passing, I truly believe there's a time when you float kind of between the spirit eternity and your flesh and your spirit's kind of struggling. Remember I talked about that dual nature of things that we are? And so my father's passing, he was sharing with me these things he was seeing and things that he wouldn't know about in Scripture. He was proclaiming, and he was talking to me about the throne and the purple around the throne and the great things he was seeing and the angels descending and ascending from heaven and back, like Jacob's ladder. And he was explaining it to me, and I realized that he was giving me from the spiritual, and these were things. My God was not a godly man all his life. He wouldn't know the Bible. And he's professing them as if he was reading them from Scripture. And I said, yeah, that's a peek into what's real, what's true. The Bible's true what it says. And God in his faithfulness to us as faithful believers gives us that taste. And we pray his kingdom come, his will be done. That's that second part here in verse 10, your will be done. This is the hardest part to pray. Kingdom come, we like that part. We like the good stuff, right? We like the streets of gold and the mansions and the good stuff that's going to come and the no tears and no more pain, no more suffering. Then we got to pray the second part, your will be done. This is a little harder. And it's hard for everybody. It was hard for Jesus. Let's go to Mark 14, and it starts in verse 32. And here's Jesus the night before he's crucified. This is the night he was taken away. And it says this, then they went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter and James and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Said to them, stay here, keep watch. He's saying, pray with me. And going on a little further, he fell to the ground and he prayed that if it was possible, the hour might pass him by. Abba, Father. It's a repetitive word. He's saying, Daddy, Daddy. Everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, as you will. Jesus Christ struggled with the very will of God, and he was God. And his flesh struggled against it. He didn't want in his flesh to go to that cross. He didn't want the pain and the agony of the cross, of the whip beating his back to a bloody pulp. He didn't want that. But he did it for you. He said, not my will, but your will be done. See, because that's what God called him to. That's what he was created for. That's why he struggled with it to the point of death. Not my will, but your will be done. You know, there's another character in the scriptures that was called to something. His name is Jonah. We say Jonah and the whale. Jonah's the one that got swallowed up by the fish. That's kind of what we remember. But do we remember why he got swallowed up by the fish other than the folks threw him overboard? Because he was running away from God and his will. See, God had called Jonah and said, hey, you got to go preach to these heathens over here and bring them my word. The Ninevites. If you watch the VeggieTales version of it. So you have. I love that version because they like to slap each other with fish. All right, that makes it real. Like, it would be really mean if I slapped Abby with a fish right now. She wouldn't like that too much, would you? Not to mention they're stinky, but it probably hurt a little bit. Yeah. These were wicked and evil people. And God said, they need my word. Jonah, go give them the word. Jonah said, you're crazy, God. I'm out of here. And he went in the opposite direction. Didn't follow the will of God, and we kind of know what happens to him. He gets eaten by a fish. He repents, said, I'll go. He gets spewed out of the fish. Oh, man, I can't even imagine that. And so here he is in the belly of the whale. We think that's cool. Then he gets thrown up. And the VeggieTales version kind of sees him coming up, and he kind of walks out. No. If you read the scripture, he is upheaved with great force from the ocean on the beach, covered in whale sputum. Yeah, this was not a good thing for old Jonah. He didn't pray, your will be done. But it's the very dual nature of who we are. Our struggle is real. Romans 7, verse 19 says this, for I do not do the good I want to do. But the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me prisoner to the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man am I! Who is to rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. That is the perfect. It goes on there. There's now neither condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. That's the dual nature of who we are. This struggle will be your struggle for as long as you're on this earth. And I'm here to tell you, y'all, if you feel the struggle, it's natural. Even I, even the pastor feels the struggle. I know. That's me. I'm trying to keep myself off the pedestal, you guys. I'm just like everybody else. The only difference between you and me, God gave me a big mouth to talk with. That's it. I'm not any more forgiven, any less forgiven. I don't have any less struggles or any more struggles than you guys do. I struggle with the very dual nature of in myself. For this is Paul talking. You know, talk about one of the giants of Scripture. This is Paul talking, and he says he struggles with it. And it's okay to struggle with this, but that's what we're praying about is, Lord, let your will be done. For God is still working in you while you are in this world. He said, I'm going to send you out, and this world is going to give you trouble, but it's okay. It's going to be fine. I've overcome the world. I've done the things that will protect you and will keep you safe. But you're going to struggle with this, I promise. Paul said, remove this thorn of my flesh. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. He says, you're still broken. You're still fleshly. You're still going to struggle with this world. But it's okay. Take heart, for I am with you. Because sometimes we get it right, and sometimes grace. I want you to be encouraged by that today. Sometimes you get it right, and sometimes grace. Look, there's no secret formula to being a perfect person. There is no perfect person. That's the secret formula. Just reminding yourself that you're a broken creature in Christ Jesus, and you're doing your best to pray for God's will be done in your life. And when you fail, you repent. That's a word we don't hear a whole lot of anymore. That was one of those old school churchy words, repent. But I'm here to tell you the word repent is used in Scripture nearly as much as the word love. Repent means to turn back. It means when we fail and we fall short, we turn back to God because He gives us that option. When you feel that guilt that wells up in you that you just didn't do it right, you repent. That's what that little guilty feeling's in there for. It's not meant to make you feel real bad. It's not meant to make you hold on to that. It's meant to say, hey, alarm warning, you're heading down the wrong path. Turn around and come back to the Lord, for He will take you. You're still in His arms. You're still forgiven. Turn back to Him. That's what we're praying. Your will be done. Let me repent, Lord, and let me come into your will. Just like David was calling out here in Psalm Verses 4 through 5, tremble and do not sin. And when you are in your bed, search your hearts and be silent. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and trust in the Lord. He's calling us to repent back to the Lord's will and not my own. Follow what the Lord calls us to do and not what we want to do. For often they don't align. How do I know? Experience. All right? Experience. I remember going into ministry and I was praying, Lord, I want to go to full-time ministry, Lord. He said, okay. I called you to it. I'm going to bring you to it. And so as I'm looking around, I'm trying to find a congregation to be a part of. I said, Lord, I'll go anywhere but Southwest Kansas. I ain't going to Southwest Kansas, Lord. You can't call me there. That's my Nineveh. I ain't going there, Lord. Lord said, well, I need you in Southwest Kansas. Trust me, I applied over 100 places that wasn't Southwest Kansas. I didn't even get a call back. I put in my resume to Southwest Kansas. I relented and repented and to the Lord. And within a day, I got a phone call and went and thought I was hired. So let me tell you, careful what you ask of the Lord. And so we're in Southwest Kansas. We know that ministry shifted and changed, and we were kind of called. God was calling us to the next thing. And as we're praying, I was like, Lord, I'm ready to go where you send me, just not Kansas. I did my time in the desert, Lord. Rossville's awesome, y'all. We're enjoying being in Kansas. I finally came to my senses. And as I pray the Lord's will be done, I just pray Isaiah 6, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? I said, Lord, here I am, send me. Send me to Kansas, send me to Southwest Kansas, send me to the ends of the world, send me to wherever you need me, Lord. I'm ready to go and I'm ready to serve. For it's not about where I am, it's about doing His will and doing great things in His name. Amen. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The last part of this. Heaven and earth, earth and heaven, where dualities meet. Matthew 10 and verse 16 says this, I am sending you out like sheep among the wolves. Therefore be shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. This is it right here. That's that duality. Be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Look, you're going to have to use the things of this world to speak to the people of this world, but don't let it deform you. Don't let it transform you into something God not wanting you to be. No, use it to transform others into the image of God. Do it to transform them into the grace of Jesus Christ, that they may come to know who He is. Your will be done, earth and heaven. You know, I remember an old hymn we used to sing. It was my dad's favorite. This is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm just a passing through. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's shore. And I just don't feel at home in this world anymore. I remember a buddy of mine played that not long after my father passed, and I near had a fit in the middle of a service. We're always being beckoned to the other side. That's where our spirit longs to be. Paul says it, for I desire to depart and be with you, but it's for you that I remain here. We're always searching for that hope and that perfection. There's a reason why we want to be eternal. There's a reason why vampire movies are so popular, because they never die. They get to live forever because we want to live forever. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to be a vampire to do it. You just got to trust in Jesus Christ to do it. For in heaven, it is an eternal place, and one day the earth will be eternal too. But until then, we're going to bring a little bit of that here. We're going to be a little bit of that hope here. For Jesus Christ Himself said in John 16, verse 33, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. For in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I'm telling you, there's a time and a place coming where I'm going to call you home, where you're going to get to be a part of it all. But until then, you've got to be a little bit of heaven to the world you're around. You got to be a little bit of that hope now. When we was over in Afghanistan and Iraq and all those places we were at, I tell you what, the greatest sound you could ever hear was the roaring of the engines on your airplane as you're taking off and heading home. Except for when it hits a bird and turns around and has to land again, then you're really sad. It happened. It happened. No joke. I was coming home from a place, and I think it was the desert, and it took us 42 days to get home. Planes kept breaking. We kept getting stalled. Airplane got rerouted. We actually did. We're on the runway. We're there. We're taking off. Airplanes lifting up. We're all like, the wheels get off the ground. We're so filled with hope. We're like, and then the wheels get up and they start to retract. And we're all like, woo! Everybody's cheering. And then wham! And it turns around and lands again. And we're like, boo! We hit a bird the size of a small airplane. Took out an engine. We landed safely, thank the Lord. But we waited another 20 days from that point to go home. That's us on the earth, y'all. There's this longing we have to be in heaven, but there's a time we need to be here. And until the Lord says it's time to go home, we have a responsibility to bring heaven to this earth. We have a responsibility to bring hope to each other. We have a responsibility to live in that hope and live in that joy of Christ Jesus. For I'm here to tell you, He has overcome this world, and there's nothing so heavy that weighs you down that God can't take from your heart. There's nothing so down and dirty that God can't remove from you. There's nothing so gone that He can't bring back to life. There is always hope, and the world needs that hope from us. Colossians 1 and verse 25, I have become its servant, meaning the church, by the commission of God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mysteries that have been kept and hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of the mysteries, which is Christ in you and hope of glory. Do you feel that hope today, church? Do you feel that hope today, church? Well, I hope you do, and I hope I've given you a little piece of it. And let me tell you, if you're not in Jesus and you're wondering what I'm talking about, come talk to me, because there's this hope I want to give you. Because if I haven't given it to you fully today, I want to give it to you fully. This hope that you can live forever. This hope that there's a place better than here. This hope that we can have joy and peace and love now. We don't have to wait for an eternity. No, this joy and hope that comes in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's pray. Thank you for these things, Lord. Thank you for this hope we can have, Jesus, in you. This amazing power of your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want that hope, Lord. We want that joy. We want that peace. But we know it only comes in you. For those who are in you, let that rest upon them today. Let them pray for your will to be done, for your kingdom to be now, for your hope to be with them, for their lives to revolve in you, to let go of the world and grab a hold of you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for these things that we get to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Heaven's not my home. Lord, what will I do? There's this resonance within us that calls, and it reverberates within our very souls, calling us to this eternity, to this hope, to this love. There's this thing within us saying, Lord, this can't be everything. This can't be all there is. I'm here to tell you the hope and the joy of that is that it's not. It's not all there is. There's this Jesus out there that wants you to be a part of the joy and the hope that you find in Him. There's this Jesus out here that wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to bring you these things I've been talking about today. He wants to bring you into that duality of both being here now, one foot in the flesh and one foot in heaven. He wants to bring you to a forgiveness that takes away the weight of your heart. Will you come to know Him today? Will you come to be in Him today? And if you are in Him and you just need prayer on your life, I'll be up here. Have some leadership left and right side, hopefully over here, that we can just pray on you. That would be awesome. We'd love to just pray for you, to encourage you, to remind you that there's something beyond this. Whatever the case is, would you listen to the Spirit's call today as He puts it upon your heart as we stand and sing?